Welcome to Beside the Burn for Monday, the 25th of January. It's the beginning of a new week, and we're continuing our studies in Lament. And this week, we're thinking about how, when storm clouds gather, we honestly cry out to God. And this is the thought that whenever we come to God, we turn to Him, and then we bring our honest complaints to Him. Now, I'm not sure if complaint is the best word to use in these circumstances, but it certainly isn't the worst word to use. Maybe complaining is something that you don't like to do. It's not the done thing in polite circles, as it were. Often whenever I complain about something, I sometimes wish I hadn't even bothered because of the hassle it can create and the tension that can be involved in it. So sometimes we avoid complaining just for an easy life. But here we're talking about something that is really, I suppose, a godly complaint. We're bringing to God. We're coming to God with the knowledge that we have of Him, and we're bringing our concerns and we're bringing our complaints to Him because we're saying, Lord, I know who You are and I know the way that You act, but what's happening at the moment doesn't seem to fit with that. Can You help me? This is going on and yet You're the opposite of that. So how can these two things hold together? So this week, we're going to be looking at Psalm number 10. We looked at the 10th Psalm on Sunday in our service of worship in Burnside at Home, and there'll be a link to that below so that you can look at it again. And we're going to work our way through the Psalm as we see what God is saying to us. And again, it's all about dealing with our suffering and dealing with our pain. And often there are two approaches to suffering. The first one is extreme. It's anger, where we become so angry with God that we almost enclose ourselves in a prison of pain and despair and indeed bitterness. And we close ourselves off and we reject God because of it. And that anger is not a good way to deal with our suffering. And sometimes it causes us to turn away from God completely whenever we're saying here that we should turn to God and honestly cry out to Him. As well as anger, some people approach suffering with denial. They just go on and say, well, everything's fine, there's nothing wrong at all, nothing to see here. Put on a brave face and get on with things. But again, that's not the best way to deal with pain and suffering either. Lament is different. We come to God, we turn to Him, and then we bring this godly complaint to Him. We complain based on what we know about God. God is good, but life is hard sometimes. We believe in God's sovereignty, that He is king and in control of all things, but we live in a world where there is sin and where there's tragedy. We're therefore, as it were, fighting to believe the promises of Scripture. We're in this tension where we know what God's word says, and yet the reality of it sometimes doesn't match. And as we come in lament, we're trying to bring those two things together in our understanding and in our experience. The psalmist here in Psalm 10 begins in the first verse with a serious complaint before God. And let's look at it together. He says, "Why, O Lord, do You stand far off? Why do You hide Yourself in times of trouble?" We're not sure what the problems are within this psalm. Many of the psalms of lament are written because of personal problems that the psalmist is going through. Sometimes they're written because of a national crisis and something that's happening in the country around them, and they lament over what is going on. And here, this particular psalm seems to be at a time of national crisis. There seems to be injustice that the psalmist is not pleased about. And as we'll see over the next few days, and as we saw on Sunday, that injustice seems to involve the wicked and how they succeed in life, and yet those who are righteous and follow God seem to have all the problems and all the difficulties. So whenever there's an injustice, this is how we're to react. We are to come to God and we're to bring our serious godly complaints to him, and we're to ask him what is going on and what needs to be done. So here the psalmist is asking the question, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? His experience at this time is that it appears that God has left him and God has forsaken him. It appears as though he's going through life on his own. And yet he knows deep within his soul that that's not what God is like. That's not what God does. God doesn't abandon his people or his followers. He stays with them in all that they do. So here we have the psalmist asking these questions. And we looked on Sunday at how Eugene Peterson has paraphrased this in The Message. God, are you avoiding me? Where are you when I need you? And sometimes that can be our experience, where we just call out to God, and it can be a moment of national crisis where we see a great injustice and we say, where are you, Lord? We need you to deal with this, and yet you don't seem to be doing anything about it. And it can be a huge injustice, or it can be something small that's in our lives. So we come to God and we ask him these questions. We honestly complain and cry out to him, and we know that God will provide us with an answer. So let's turn to God now in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you today that you are a God of mercy. You listen to us whenever we cry out to you. And Lord, we do thank you that even though at times it may feel as though we're on our own, we thank you that you are with us and you will not forsake us. So, Lord, we trust in you today, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue with us day by day in all that we do, staying close to us, Lord, and helping us in all that we do. For, Lord, we ask all of these things in your precious name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Tuesday, the 26th of January. We're continuing in lament, and we're looking at when storm clouds gather, how we honestly cry out to God. Last week, our attention was turning to God. This week, it's crying out to him with honesty in our hearts. And we're continuing in Psalm 10. And if it's not labouring the point too much, we're going to look again at the very first verse of this psalm. I know that we spent time yesterday on it, but it really does set the scene for the rest of this psalm, and it helps us understand the psalmist's motivation for working through this and coming in lament before God. And therefore, today, our theme is bring your questions to God. So in this first verse, the psalmist is questioning God, and he's asking, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And it's important to note here what is being said and why it's being said. First of all, let's consider how the psalmist is addressing God, because that's important. He's saying, O Lord. And it's this word Lord that we find quite often and throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, with all capital letters. And whenever you're reading through your Bible, you'll quite often see all the capitals. And that means that the name that's being used here is the name that God gave Moses. Whenever Moses was at the burning bush and he asked God, who will I say has sent me? And God said, I am who I am. I am has sent you. And that title, I am, is what is always translated in capital letters as the word Lord. So here, the psalmist in using this name is bringing to mind all sorts of things about God. It's not just a generic title for God. This has meaning. So whenever he says, O Lord, He is using the Hebrew Yahweh, and he is linking back to what God told Moses. So even though the psalmist is coming here and he's asking, well, where have you gone to, Lord? Why are you hiding? Why are you standing at a distance? Why are you not involved here doing something? He's actually saying, you are the God who spoke to Moses. You're the God who then led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and who then has set them free. You're the God who heard the cry of your people and did something about it. So why, now that there's injustice and now that things are outside of my control, are you not doing the same thing? Why would you stand far away? Why would you hide yourself? None of this makes sense, Lord. And therefore, I'm coming with these questions to you. And it's important in all of this lament that whenever we complain to God or whenever we bring our thoughts to God, that we don't do it in a way that blames God or that tries to belittle God. Here the psalmist is actually praising God. He's lifting him up but asking him serious questions at the same time. There are many who, whenever they face pain and suffering and troubles, will simply turn away from God. Oh, why would I bother following you? You've been nothing but trouble. You've done nothing but terrible things to me in my life. This is not the way that I want to live my life. And that is not what the psalmist is doing here. So he's asking all these things. And it's interesting because these questions crop up time and time again through the Psalms, where the psalmist comes in lament and asks these type of questions before the Lord. For example, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? And because those are familiar words, they're almost poetic words, and they've been sanitized down through the years into a lovely little couplet, a little phrase that we've heard time and time again. And we say, oh, there's the psalmist who's in deep trouble and he's turning to God for help and he's finding help. But the raw emotion of those words is actually quite serious. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? These are really brutal accusations that are being made to God here. Think also Psalm 44, verse 23, 24. Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? Here the psalmist is saying that God has forgotten all about them, isn't interested in the suffering and the pain that they're going through and their affliction. And Lord, it looks as if you're sleeping. Will you wake up and come to our aid whenever we need you? Psalm 80, verse 12. Why then have you broken down its walls? I'm talking about Jerusalem. Why then have you broken down its walls? Accusing God of being the one who has brought the destruction. And then again in Psalm 88, O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Lord, I'm trying my best to follow you and you've just cast me aside as if I'm not important. Why would you do that, Lord? Looking further, we'll find a number of complaints connected to how questions, where we come to God, not just asking why, but we come to God asking how. And we say to him in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Psalm 35, how long, O Lord, will you look on? Psalm 74, how long, O God, is the foe to scoff, is the enemy to revile your name forever? Psalm 94, O Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exult? Psalm 137, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And once we start to see these questions being asked, they become clear to us, and they quite often identify a psalm of lament and help us see what's going on here. The psalmist is not coming in despair, as it were. He knows who God is, and he knows what God has done in the past, and he's relying on that fact to help him through the lament. Lament doesn't work if we reject God. Lament only works if we trust in God. So if you are suffering or in pain or in distress, you need to acknowledge your trust in God to work your way through this lament. So that's what we're doing this week. We're bringing our questions to God. We're openly asking him why, how long, what is going on, Lord? And we're trusting that he will provide us with an answer. So let's bow before him in prayer today. Lord God, we thank you that whenever we come to you, we can be honest with you. And Lord, we recognize that you are the sovereign God who is in control. But we recognize at times, Lord, we get our minds get so clouded by our own experiences and what's going on around us that we forget who you are and what you have done. So Lord, help us today to trust you and acknowledge you as King of Kings. Help us, Lord, to remember the salvation that you have brought to us and how you have brought salvation down through the years to your people. And therefore, Lord, we trust in you this day and we bring our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Wednesday, the 27th of January. We're continuing to look at the 10th Psalm as we lament before God the things that cause us pain and suffering, the things that cause us distress in life. And we're saying when storm clouds gather, honestly cry out to God. And so far we've been looking at how we're to turn to God, how we're to bring our complaints or godly complaints to God. And today we're going to see how the psalmist, after questioning God, then starts to bring his frustrations towards God. And perhaps that word frustration is better than complaint. Because the psalmist in these next few verses, from verse 2 to verse 11, basically lists all the things that he sees as injustices in the world. It all boils down to one very simple problem. Those who are evil in the world seem to succeed, and those who try to be righteous seem to have all the trouble and suffering. And he's frustrated by this. And that's why he's already made this complaint to God. Why are you hiding? Why are you standing afar off? So here he is frustrated by all these things that are happening. And he brings those frustrations before God. And that's not a bad way to look at it, that we should bring our frustrations to God and see if he can tell us anything about what he is doing about them. So, verse 2, the psalmist starts to talk about the wicked person and how they are arrogant and how they hunt down the weak and how the weak are then caught in the schemes that the wicked person devises. Again, this arrogant, wicked person and boasts of the cravings of his heart and blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. All the things that go against what a righteous person does, that's what the evil person is doing. For those who are doing evil, these are the most natural acts. But for those who are trying to be righteous and follow God, these are obnoxious. These are things that really cut to the very heart of what it means to be a follower of God. The follower of God doesn't boast about the cravings of the heart. In fact, we come before God and we repent of the cravings of our hearts and ask God to change our hearts. We don't bless those who are greedy. Instead, we seek to share and to help and to provide for others. We respect God and we revere him rather than reviling him. So here we see the complete opposite of all that the righteous person stands for. Again, talking more about the wicked person in his pride. Again, we've had boasting, arrogance, now pride. The wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He seems to succeed. He's haughty. And your laws are far from him. He sneers. Look at all these words that describe him. Pride, haughty, sneering. This is not a nice person. This is not a good person that's being described here. He says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. And his mouth, it's full of curses and lies and threats. And trouble and evil are under his tongue. What a collection of words to describe anyone. And yet it is so frustrating whenever we see this happening. So here we have it. What's going on? Again, this evil person lies in wait near villages, ambush, murder the innocent, watching in secret for victims. Lies in wait. He catches the helpless, drags them off. These are all such terrible qualities, and yet it's what we see in the world, and we wonder to ourselves, why is nobody doing anything about this? And the frustration builds, and we come to God and we say, why aren't you doing anything about it, Lord? And again, the wicked person, his victims are crushed, they collapse, they fall. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. And it's interesting here that the righteous psalmist and the evildoer both have this thought that perhaps God has forgotten. It's the explanation of the evil person as to why they're able to carry on doing everything that they're doing. And it's the explanation of the righteous person as to why the evil person's allowed to carry on doing what they're doing. So we've got all of these frustrations that have built up. And the good way to deal with those frustrations is to bring them to God and name them before God, list them before him, tell God what we're thinking. The interesting thing is that our struggles are not a surprise to God. If we were to say these things to God today, out of a heart that feels injustice and notices these things, God wouldn't be surprised at our words because he knows what's in our hearts. He knows what frustrates us, and he would be expecting us to talk to him about these things. To ask, how do the wicked succeed? How is it that the vulnerable are most at risk? How is it that the poor are given the least justice? Whenever we look at COVID-19, why is it that it seems to affect those who are poorest and those who have less in society the most? Why is it that it seems to attack those who are most vulnerable in care homes and the like? And this is our frustration. But instead of allowing it to build up and to fester and to cause us anger and bitterness, we're to express it to God. And that's what lament is all about. We come honestly crying before God and God listens. Now, this is not a magic formula where we simply list our frustrations and God says, okay, I'll deal with them and sort them out. It can still be a long journey to get to the point where we are acknowledging our trust in God. But simply listing these frustrations allows the Holy Spirit to work in our minds and to draw us around and to prompt us and to point to us and to show us what God is wanting to do. So let's talk to God now and let's thank him that he understands our frustrations. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are the God who understands us. You know the frustrations that we have. And whenever we bring them to you in lamenting prayer, they're not a surprise to you, Lord. You already understand. But Lord, we thank you that we can come and list them before you. We thank you that we can come and ask you to do something about them. And we praise you, Lord, that you are the one who is able to act. And therefore, Lord, in this time of lament, we thank you that we come to you. And we thank you, Lord, that this is not just a negative exercise where we list all the problems, But we thank you it's a positive time of turning to you, trusting in you, and finding hope in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Thursday, the 28th of January. We're continuing with lament in Psalm 10, asking this question: when storm clouds gather, what do we do? Well, we honestly cry out. And today I want to draw together a lot of the things that we've been thinking about and explicitly explain how we are to complain the right way to God. We're to complain the right way to him, and not just complain in our own self-centered way, but do it properly and biblically and godly. I'm not actually going to read any more of the psalm today. You can go back and you can read all of it, because you'll see how it fits in with what we're saying today, and then we'll look at a few more verses tomorrow. But whenever it comes to lament, there are certain ways that we should go about this prayer of lament. It's not just something that's dreary and dull, but it's something that leads us to a positive place. So whenever we come, we need to be humble as we come before God. If we're going to offer complaint to God, then we should do it with a humble heart. There's no point coming with pride and demanding things of God as if we have a right to these things. We need to come before him humbly and accept the fact that God is sovereign, that God has a plan, that God is in control of all things, and that he is to be trusted. And even though we might not understand his ways are indeed greater than our ways. So we come humbly, and anything that we ask of God, we say to him, Lord, I'm not sure what's going on here. I'm not sure why things are happening the way that they are. It seems to me as though you've forgotten, or you've disappeared, or you're hiding. Now, I know that that can't really be the case, but that's what it seems like. Lord, help me. Help me understand. Then whenever it comes to our prayers, it's a good idea to pray the Bible. Because sometimes if we are truly angry and frustrated, whenever it comes to our prayers, we start making wild accusations and we start saying things to God that perhaps we might later regret. But if we pray the Bible, the words are there to help us draw close to God. And it's good to take some of those Psalms of lament and read them through as a prayer to God. There's a third of the Psalms are our lament. They're there in the Bible for a reason. They're there not just to tell us about the psalmist. They're there to help us express our emotions. And sometimes when the emotions are deep, and whenever there is true hurt and suffering there, it's very, very hard to put things into words that are reasonable and that make sense. So therefore, we come to God and we read these Psalms of lament, and they help us to put forward what we're thinking. Third thing that we've been thinking about all this week is being honest whenever it comes to God. And it bears repeating again that we should be honest in what we're saying. It's not that we just complain all the time, but it's if we have a concern and a frustration and a complaint, we put it to God and we say to him what is on our minds, and we ask him to help us. I mean, think about Jesus. Whenever Jesus was hanging on the cross, in Matthew 27, we're told, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we need to take a little comfort from those words and realize that Jesus expressed this to his Father, and so therefore we can come and express it. Remember too, in our honesty, that sometimes if we can't put things into words, the Holy Spirit will do that job for us. In Romans 8, Paul tells us that the Spirit of God intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. that whenever we cannot express what is in our hearts and our minds, the Holy Spirit will do that. If we've turned to God, if we're honestly crying out to Him, He will do it. We come to God and we say, God, I do not know what is going on here. Accept my prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to do it. And then fourthly and finally for today, we need to move beyond complaint. It's good that we come honestly crying out to God, that we come bringing our complaints and frustrations, but we need to be able to move beyond that. If we just complain all the time, if we just list our frustrations all the time, then we become stuck. And there's nothing positive coming out of this idea of lament. And I think that's why some people view lament as being so negative, because they just see it as an opportunity to complain, and that is as far as it goes. If we never move beyond complaint, lament loses its purpose and its power. It's only whenever we turn through the lament to God that we find a way out, that we find something positive in our lives. Complaint is a major part of lament, but it's not the end position. It's only part of the journey. The end position is to bring us closer to God, and we need to always be moving closer to God throughout our times of lament. And so we come to God. We come humbly before Him. We pray the words of the Bible. We are honest, but then we allow God to move us on and to draw us closer to Him. So if there's something in your life today that is frustrating you or causing you pain, try lament. Come to God. Turn to Him first of all. Then speak honestly to Him about it. But then allow Him to lead you beyond complaint, to lead you to trusting in Him and finding hope in Him. Let's pray. Lord God, there are many things that cause us pain and suffering. There are many things that are frustrating us at this time. And Lord, we probably all have something in our minds right now that is causing us difficulties. We bring it to You in prayer, Lord, and we bring our frustrations and we bring our hurt and our suffering to You, and we ask, Lord, what is going on? How long will this endure in our lives? And Lord, we look to You and we ask today that You would lead us closer to You through this whole experience. Lead us beyond our complaint, Lord, to know Your blessing, to know trust in You, to find strength in You. And Lord, may Your peace that passes all understanding come upon us today, and may we know that we are safe in Your arms and that You will undertake for us whatever we do. So Lord, be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Friday, the 29th of January, and we're continuing our journey of lament through Psalm 10. And we're at the end of the second week of studies in lament. And I suppose this is a good time. It's really the halfway point. We've got two more weeks looking at lament together. And this is a good point to ask the question, what am I hoping to achieve by this series of 4 weeks of lament? Maybe if you'd known at the beginning that it was 4 weeks of lamenting, you might have given up and said, there's no way I want to be involved in that. I can't take a month of my life just purely to lament. I need something more than that. But what I want us to do is, when the storm clouds gather, to honestly cry out and to find hope. And that's what today is all about, finding hope. We're going to look at the remaining few verses in Psalm 10, verses 12 to 18. But with any lament that we bring to God, this is what we're aiming towards, finding hope in the midst of lament. Lament, and I cannot emphasize this enough or say it often enough in this series, lament is not wallowing in our own self-pity. Lament is finding hope in God, turning to God and realizing that he has the answers no matter what is going on around us. So in Psalm 10, the psalmist has been complaining about all the injustices. He has been listing all of his frustrations. And here we find him coming and telling us that God is the one who's in control. Look at verse 12 and the way this psalm turns around. Arise, Lord. This is God lifting up. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. He's been complaining that it seems as though God has forgotten the helpless, but he's saying now, arise, Lord. I know that you're in control. This is the turning point of the psalm. I know that you are the sovereign king and that you will not forget the helpless. So come now, Lord, and step in and deal with this. And this is him finding hope. And this is where we find hope as well, that after we've listed our frustrations and we've complained to the Lord, we can say to the Lord, Lord, come and take your rightful place, Lord. Come and be enthroned in my life as King, as Lord, as the one who is in charge. Look at what the psalmist goes on to say. But you, O Lord, you, O God, do see trouble and grief. These things are not hidden. You see them. You see what's going on. You know the injustices. You consider it. And then he declares that God takes it in hand. He acts upon it. The victim, the very person who the wicked has been exploiting through all this, the victim comes to God and commits himself to God. And God helps the victim. God helps those who are vulnerable. God helps those who have very little. You are the helper of the fatherless. And the fatherless are often seen as those who have nothing in life. They have no security, they have no help, but God is the one who helps them. And sometimes whenever we hear news reports or we look at what's happening in the world, we can look down upon those who are vulnerable, those who are in need of help. And we think to ourselves, well, if only they had made different choices in life, then they would be in a better position. But God is their God, and God is their helper. And therefore, if we are to be part of the body of Christ, we are to help as well. Then the psalmist takes this turn in verse 15, where he calls out for justice. Now, he's not trying to take justice into his own hands. He is simply coming to God and saying, you know what, Lord? I think this would be a fair outcome. If you would go and break the arm of the wicked and the evil man, if you'd call him to account for his wickedness, then that would not be found out. In other words, if you went and did these things, Lord, you could do this. That you could do this rightly and justly, and nobody would complain that you'd done it. And then we've got this great declaration at the end. The Lord is king. This is the same word for Lord that we saw in the very first verse. It's the I am, Yahweh, the one who speaks to Moses through the burning bush, the one who leads his people out of Egypt and slavery. This is the God that we trust. He is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. Yes. God hears the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry. So whenever we honestly cry out to God, we know that God listens and hears us. And he defends us, those who are fatherless, those who are oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. God is king. He is in charge. So this is what I want us to do in lament. Find hope in God. Come and trust in God and recognize him as our King. Recognize him as our Savior. Recognize him as the one who gives us hope. And we trust in him. So lament, yes, it's a time of crying. It's a time of suffering and pain. But it's a time of finding hope and purpose and trusting in God. So each time that we feel pain, we lament that pain, but we trust in God and we find hope in Him. Each time that we see an injustice, we lament that injustice, but then we trust in God and we find hope. Each time we see someone who is suffering, we lament that suffering and we lead them to trust in God and we find hope in God. So let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that you are the God who is to be trusted and the God who leads us to hope. Our hope is in you alone today, Lord, and we trust in you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to lament these injustices and this pain and the suffering in our lives. But Lord, we pray that you'd lead us beyond the complaints and lead us beyond lament to trust in you and find hope in you. Help us today, Lord, to trust you as our King, that you're the one who hears us whenever we are afflicted. And so, Lord, we trust in you today, and we ask that you would continue with us in Jesus' name. Amen.